Okay, we'll go back to item number 7, the proposed land transactions decision. Dan Budd, going to walk us through a few items.
Madam Chair, members of the commission, I feel kind of lonesome up here while my friend's leaving. For the record, my name is Dan Budd. I'm the manager of real estate services for the department. On today's agenda, the department is recommending the purchase of 2 properties for habitat conservation and another property for public fishing access. When acquiring land habitat for fish and wildlife, the department is guided by species and habitat plans that identify conservation and restoration actions that will benefit fish and wildlife. Project scoping and need are identified in these plans. Projects then go through an evaluation and prioritization step, which includes the land's 2020 process before the land transaction step begins. For the items the department is recommending today, the scoping and need step and the evaluation and prioritization step have been completed, and we are now at the land transaction step. We have completed most of the stages within the land transaction step, and we have completed appraisals and appraisal review, negotiated and secured options, and are now at the stage of recommending approval by the Fish and Wildlife Commission. A critical stage in implementing our acquisitions is appraisal of the real property to be acquired. State law requires the real property to be appraised before beginning negotiations. It also requires that the agency provide the seller a written statement informing the seller of the agency's determination of value. The source of funding sets a standard for appraisal requirements. The Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice meets the requirements for state funds, while federal funds require what is commonly referred to as Yellow Book compliant appraisals. The department contracts with independent fee appraisers to conduct appraisals. We currently have 43 firms under contract, and we request fee quotes from firms experienced with the specific types of property that we're appraising. Appraisals are then reviewed for compliance by the department's chief appraiser, Sean Kies, who is state certified and also holds the MAI designation from the Appraisal Institute. And I'd like to add on at this point that at times on complex transactions, the department contracts out for the appraisal review, as is being done in the TIOA project. If federal funds are being used, review and approval by the federal agency is also required. When appraisals have passed review, a statement of just compensation is issued and the negotiations with the landowner can begin. If landowner negotiations are successful, the department then brings the transaction forward and recommends approval by the Fish and Wildlife Commission. We are now at that stage with the transactions the department is recommending today. The first item today is the purchase of a 161.9-acre property in Pacific County. This property is part of the Willapa Bay Shoreline Project that was evaluated and approved through the Department's Lands 2020 process. The purpose of the project is to conserve high-quality wetland habitat in one of the most pristine estuaries in the United States and secure public recreational opportunities, which include waterfowl hunting, fishing, and watchable wildlife opportunities. This is a partnership project with Forterra, formerly known as the Cascade Land Conservancy, working together over the past decade to secure funding and negotiate land transactions with willing sellers. This 161.9-acre property is located at the mouth of the Nacelle River, fronting on Willapa Bay. Its habitats include saltwater marsh, freshwater tributary, riparian and estuarine wetlands, and a Douglas fir forested buffer. Willapa Bay is a significant feeding area for waterfowl and shorebirds migrating on the Pacific Flyway. Over 250 birds and 53 mammals have been recorded within the project vicinity. This project enjoys strong local support, including that of the Pacific County Commissioners. The purchase of this property is being funded by a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service grant through the North American Wetlands Conservation Act, the Migratory Bird Conservation Fund, and private funds being provided by Forterra, our partner in this project. Annual operation and maintenance costs are estimated at $1,300 per year. The second item today is the purchase of 6.45 acres in Chelan County. The property on Lower Icicle Creek was evaluated and approved through the Department's Lands 2020 process. This is part of the Lower Icicle Creek Habitat Conservation Partnership project with the Chelan-Douglas Land Trust. The purpose of this project is to preserve high-quality riparian habitat and spawning areas identified in the Upper Columbia Salmon Recovery Plan. This property is located about 1.4 miles south of Leavenworth and fronts on Icicle Creek for 1,300 feet. The property is under continued threat of residential subdivision. This reach of Icicle Creek provides significant riparian and in-stream habitat that benefits listed salmonids, including Upper Columbia Spring Chinook, Upper Columbia Steelhead, Bull Trout, and Sockeye. Public ownership of this property will allow a walk-in water access for fishing and floating. There will be a small parking lot also provided on East Leavenworth Road. This transaction has been negotiated by the Chelan-Douglas Land Trust, who has secured $296,000 of the purchase funding through the Salmon Recovery Funding Board and is providing the remaining $74,000 through the Icicle Fund. The department has secured a waiver to pursue a future grant through the Recreation and Conservation Office, and if successful, intends to reimburse the Icicle Fund. Operation and maintenance is estimated at $1,500 annually and will be provided in part by the Discover Pass. The third and final item today is the purchase of 79.6 acres located in Okanagan County. This property is part of the Met Owl Watershed Project, which was evaluated and approved through the Department's Lands 2020 process. The purpose of the Met Owl Watershed Project is to protect shrub steppe habitat, key migration routes for mule deer, riparian and in-stream habitats in the Met Owl Watershed. This property is an inholding on the Met Owl Wildlife Area within the project area and located approximately 5 miles east of the town of Twisp. Department ownership of this property will eliminate the threat of development and enhance the integrity of the wildlife area management plan. The property consists of south slope grasslands and shrub steppe habitat, which provides critical winter range for mule deer. The property lies along a key mule deer migratory corridor and includes water rights on Fraser Creek, which could be used to enhance in-stream flows. Funding for the purchase of this property is being provided by a grant from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service under the Section 6 program. Operation and maintenance is estimated at $650 annually, which will be provided by the wildlife area budget. The payment in lieu of property tax to Okanagan County is estimated at $160. The department recommends the commission approve the land transactions as presented, and I'd be glad to answer any questions and yield to public comment.
Director Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And I wanted to just speak to the last piece of property and the recommendations that are being brought forward for your consideration. As you know, and you remember, we received a letter back the end of May from the Okanagan County Commissioners, and in that letter they expressed their objections to the department acquiring in particular fee title acquisitions in the county. I believe I briefed the commission following a discussion I had with one of the county commissioners, Mr. Hover, that I had in June, and we indicated a willingness to suspend exploration of new acquisitions in the county until such time that we had an opportunity to talk with the county commissioners again and hopefully try to restart our efforts that would include performing an economic analysis, with respect to the impacts on the county by property acquisitions from the department, that are for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. We had several pieces of property that we had been in negotiations with and wanted to make, and this was in just a conversation with Mr. Hover at the time, indicating that wanted to, that this did not include properties that we had already engaged in discussions on or reached earnest money agreements, sales agreements with. This piece of property, you may recall that we brought two pieces of property forward, I believe, at the August meeting that were in that category. And there are two others, this being one of those, where appraisals had been done, negotiations had been completed, earnest money agreements being consummated. And so I... And of course, we did recognize that we had an election season coming up where we were potentially having some new county commissioners put in place. And we wanted to wait until the elections had taken place and then re-engage conversations with the county commissioners as appropriate. You will see this is a letter that I sent to the Okanagan County Commissioners just earlier this week. This is in part, at least, in response to a letter that they sent us back in October, where they indicated a willingness to reinitiate discussions. You'll see in this letter that we're acknowledging that offer, and we've arranged for a meeting, I believe it's on January 8th, for Regional Director Dennis Beach and Dave Bertel to go over and engage. Actually, it will be a new set of county, or at least two of the county commissioners that took the will be taking the place of Commissioner Lampe and Commissioner Hover as a result of the election. You'll also see in this letter that I handed around that that for those properties where we already had formal business agreements, were that we were going to be bringing those forward for commission consideration. And again, this is one of those properties. So I just wanted to put this one in context for you. We continue to have some internal discussions about our land acquisition objectives, making them as succinct as possible with Okanagan County, so that when Dennis and Dave go and speak with the county commissioners, that we're as succinct as we can be. I think there's been some concern in the past that our While we had identified some some polygons of areas that were where we were focused, I think they wanted to have some more specificity to those, to our intent and the areas that we were particularly concerned about from a conservation perspective, and so we will be doing that. This one is also, as you can see, will be contiguous with our wildlife area that we already have, and so from, it's not a patchwork kind of an acquisition, and it will enhance the wildlife area that is currently in that area. So I'll close with that, but I wanted to give you some background on the rationale for bringing this one forward.
Commissioner Caney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm a little confused on this one, I guess, for the Okanagan County one, and maybe you can clear it up even more for me, but I believe at the meeting I went to in Brewster, and I think, Chuck, you were there as well, what I heard from, I believe it was Dave Bertel, and I know the current elected, the Commissioner-elect Ray Campbell was at that meeting, and I'm not sure what he heard, but what I heard was no more fee acquisitions, period, until We've met with the commissioners and resolved some issues. And I think that was at the time, I get my timing mixed up, but I think there was a couple acquisitions that were in progress that had already been approved through the commission. So it was my belief at that meeting that, and I'm all for land acquisitions and the goal they serve, but I'm really worried about the message this might send if what I heard was what the rest of the audience heard and what the rest of the press that was there heard and what the newly elected commissioner heard. Maybe Chuck can help me there if he heard the same thing, but I definitely believe I heard no more. And so this steps up over that unless there's been some communication with the current county commissioners, and I still have a worry about the incoming commissioners, whether they would take WDFW to task for this. You've broken your word again is what I'm afraid. I don't want to see my picture in the paper anymore. But aside from that, I'm worried about the image of WDFW if what I heard was correct, that we promised there would be no more until such time as we met with those county commissioners and resolved some of the issues. So maybe anybody can help me with this, I guess.
I can.
Deputy Director Storr.
Yeah, Commissioner Keeney, I was there too, and I clearly heard, especially Commissioner Detro, express serious concerns and saying to us no more. I got up in that meeting and said, you know, that we were taking a temporary time out while we waited for a discussion with the county about this economic analysis, and you know, and after the election. When the director and I had met with Commissioner Hover, we said that same thing, and that was prior to the Brewster meeting, but made it clear to Commissioner Hover that there were these three or four properties that were well under development that we felt an obligation, just in terms of good faith discussions, to bring forward to you. In their response, in the commission's, or I'm sorry, the county's letter back to us after the Brewster meeting, they acknowledged that, you know, what I just said, that this was a temporary suspension while we explored the possibility of looking at the economic analysis, and in that letter they said they were willing to sit down and talk to us, which wasn't clear at the Brewster meeting. So I don't expect there to be, frankly, any support on the county commissions for a large-scale continuation of land acquisition, but I think we have been clear about, you know, an exception to that being these three or four properties that where we just felt like we had so much time and so many commitments in place with the landowners there, willing landowners, willing sellers, that we, you know, felt we needed to meet that obligation.
It just feels like to me, and it's been a while since that meeting, maybe Chuck, you could help me if what you heard, because I definitely felt what I heard was until those discussions continue, no more fee acquisitions in Okanagan County, period. That's what I came away with. I may have got it wrong.
Yeah, I didn't think it was quite that clear cut. There was certainly an indication that we were going to back off for a while, but again, I don't think I heard it quite that clear cut at all. I do feel like there needs to be communication with the county commission, but on the other hand, I've seen a few emails and, you know, had a few phone calls with people and so forth that complain about the fact that the county is trying to interfere with sale of my land. I can sell it to whoever I want and so on and so forth. So I think that's an issue too. Being pretty specific in terms of land we're interested in purchases before dealing with the landowner seems to me like could cause problems as well in terms of elevating the price of the land the landowner might ask, affecting the value of the land around it. I know commonly you see in real estate ads right next to public land, so forth, that affects the value of private property. So I think there's a lot of things going on here that probably need to be discussed in some detail, but...
Madam Chair, could I give some more context for this particular transaction? We have been working with this particular landowner for several years, trying to get to a transaction that would fit. We tried to preliminarily to acquire the entire holding, which included land, quite a bit more land south of the road along Fraser Creek. They weren't interested in selling that, but then during the spring and summer, they came and they warmed to the concept of selling the land north of the road. And indeed, they signed a deal with us. Subsequent to the meeting in Brewster, I asked Tom Woodruff, our acquisition supervisor, to make contact with the landowner and tell the landowner that we are not pursuing any more transactions in Okanagan County at this point in time, based on the results of the meeting. What happened next was beyond our control. That landowner contacted the county commissioners, called the county commission office, and was hostile at finding out that he wasn't going to be able to sell his land to the department at that time. Subsequent to that, he left a message there with the secretary. Subsequent to that, he got a call back from Commissioner Dietro stating in no uncertain terms were the Okanagan County commissioners stopping the transaction and that he wasn't being told the truth by the department or something to that effect. We were not a party to that conversation. What we got back was a voicemail back from the landowner saying, telling us that either the county is lying to him or we are lying to him. And that's the position we find ourselves in at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Director Anderson?
And the one other piece, I did try to call Commissioner Dietro this week. He's out of town. He was on, I believe he's at a rodeo. But because the one conversation that I had directly with a county commissioner was Commissioner Hover, I did contact Commissioner Hover, and I did speak with him, and he was certainly just speaking for himself as one county commissioner, and he had no problem whatsoever with us proceeding with this particular acquisition. I didn't get a hold of Commissioner Lampe, but I did know that there had been this, and this is secondhand. I mean, we're getting this from the property owner about a discussion that he had with Commissioner Dietro, but I was aware of that. I have talked with Commissioner Hover just 2 days ago, and he was supportive of us bringing this forward. So what? Here's the change, and frankly, in my thinking, we were intending to bring this forward to you at the January meeting, which would take place following the January 8th meeting that I mentioned that Dave Bertel and Dennis Beach will be having with the county commissioners, which will be the new set of county commissioners. So what would that, how does that play into whether or not we bring this acquisition forward? Are we going there to ask their permission? Because we know we're not going to get it.
Right.
And so that, and frankly, that would be inappropriate to do that. So how will we be better informed or be in a different position at your January meeting than we are right now? We already know that the landowner has signed a contract with us, and so there's a credibility issue for us. I understand the credibility that Commissioner Caney's bringing forward. But there's a credibility issue with us that we've signed a sale and purchase agreement with this person, too. So if we're going to do that and yet we're not going to bring it forward to the commission for your consideration, I'm concerned about that. So that's the situation. That's why we're bringing it forward. This is why we don't believe it's in violation of any commitments that we've made to the county commissioners.
I think Commissioner Carpenter was next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think trying to evaluate this from my perspective, and help me, Dan, if I have this right, this is connecting to create a contiguous piece of land held by WFW. Am I correct in that?
Correct. This is, the green is our wildlife area. The red is the property we're acquiring. This line here is Highway 20. Let me back up here a little.
I just think, looking at it, as someone that doesn't live over there, it looks like to me like it makes a lot of sense instead of a patchwork quilt in other areas. So I, in all due respect to Commissioner Keeney, I don't have to live there and deal with the locals, but it looks like it makes viable sense on behalf of the citizens of that part of the world. So,
and if I could add, Madam Chair, if you'll notice on this map or this aerial, these parcels right here, these are individual parcels that the landowner had previously broken out and sold before they zoned him to not be able to do it that small before the area has been zoned. This property here is in private ownership. The landowner informed us that if we didn't go forward with our sale, he was putting it on the market to sell it because they are in a situation where they do need some money. That's what motivated them to, or at least that's our understanding of it. And our fear is that this property is going to get broken out into parcels if we don't act.
Commissioner Keeney.
Thank you. And Commissioner Carpenter, I always, almost always, can see the value of the purchase. I mean, it's obvious in most of the ones that are brought before us, I mean, or they wouldn't be here. It's more about the public perception and how it will get twisted. That's what I'm worried about. And not so much, okay, a story can be twisted, but then the long-term ability of WDFW to continue to work for good acquisitions and conservation easements in Okanagan County, you know, can be hurt, can be significantly hurt. So I guess what I'm, and there seems to be some confusion, because otherwise this landowner wouldn't have called Commissioner Dietro and said, why are you stopping this sale? And had that whole response that went on. I guess what I'm going to ask is it so time sensitive that this couldn't wait, not to go get permission from the county commissioners, but to explain to the commissioners, you're going to move ahead with this purchase and here's why? Because at least then there's that direct communication with the new set of commissioners that starts things off on the right foot. Is it so time sensitive that it has to, this particular purchase has to happen now, or could it wait that month or two to just lay some good groundwork so that we aren't hurting the future ability of us to do acquisitions or easements in the county?
Hey, in talking with, and I've asked Dan this question, and I think the answer is no, with the understanding that we would be bringing it back in January. It is too late if we wait beyond that, because we're going to get outside the time frame of our appraisal is credible, and we may get outside the time period that our sales agreement covers. And if we do that, then we'll be right back to square one. So does it hurt? Will it preclude you from considering this at your January meeting? No. By waiting? No.
Commissioner Schmitten was next.
Thank you, Chair. I guess I see two parts of this. One, the stage that we're into with the purchase, I think we have an obligation to the property owner at this point to move forward, and I'm comfortable with doing that now. But I see a co-commitment of communication to the county commissioners. We need to clarify this so-called timeout statement that we've made so they understand what that really means. If we have other properties, what I'm worried about, we say we have three or four others, it's probably a proprietary nature. We can't disclose those, but that could be seen as being open-ended, you know, never stopping. This is the way around this process. So I would see a simple letter. I would see it now, just simply explaining why we're making this purchase. It was in the pipeline. It was referenced in our discussions about the timeout, and so they're informed. I don't see a reason for delaying.
Commissioner Duvia.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Dan, I don't know if it's been discussed, but I know if a lot of my clients anyway are making transactions prior to 12/31 because of the tax things. If there's a significant gain in this property they're selling, I definitely would sell it to somebody before 12/31. It's twice as expensive if you waste till 1/1.
That's correct.
Director Anderson?
Well, just responding to Commissioner Schmidt, and that frankly was the purpose, in part, the purpose of this letter. You'll see in the last paragraph where it speaks to the...
Last paragraph of the first page.
Yeah, sorry. Last paragraph on the first page where this was in the category where we had already made formal business commitments to private landowners choosing to sell, and that we have, I said, to the best of my knowledge, we only have two such commitments, this being one of those. And then on the back, the top paragraph on the second page, again, makes clear that we didn't place a timeline on the temporary suspension, and I'm not saying the suspension is over. Don't misconstrue that. But we also wanted to make it clear we're not tying it to the completion of the economic analysis, because frankly, as we understand it, some of the platforms that two of the commissioners who were successful in being elected was a platform that was questioning further acquisitions by government entities such as us. And so we'll see. We're hoping to maybe be able to make progress. We're hoping to be more specific so that they understand our specific goals relative to acquisitions. But at the same time, we recognize we have we've been working hard at this for 2.5 years, and frankly, the degree of progress we have made does not compare to the time we put in it, that's for sure.
Chair, this does answer my issue.
Okay, good. Commissioner Jennings?
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of my comments was going to be just what Director Anderson said, which was the letter we just sent covered a lot of what Commissioner Schmidt had asked for. I want to be real sensitive to the time as well. This is an important conversation. We're also about almost half an hour behind our schedule for the afternoon. It seems like I understand the concerns that Commissioner Keening raised about perceptions, but the reality is that's a perception we've had in that county for quite some time. We've been fairly transparent, again, in writing about what we're doing. It's a willing seller. We've been working on it for years. So, as Commissioner Schmidt indicated, I too am comfortable moving forward today with this. And if Mr. Canning, and I'm saying this tongue in cheek, but if you wanted to, you know, make that first motion, I'll be happy to second it. Or
okay, go ahead. Did you, Commissioner Perry? Did you have your hand up?
Well, I've got a couple of questions, but they aren't related to this particular purchase. So
okay.
I was waiting until that discussion finished before I jumped in.
Okay, well, I was not at the Brewster meeting, but I do remember when the director informed us about this concept of a moratorium on purchase, and I recall that he was clear with us that this would not apply to the transactions in the pipeline. So I remember that as part of the explanation that we received. If there was any misunderstanding in Brewster, that is unfortunate, but that was my recollection. Commissioner Duvia?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I kind of concur with Dave, and for this acquisition, I think the directors reached out and made a good faith effort to make sure we communicated and repetitively what we're trying to do. I do think we should be proactive, and I think the citizen has the right to sell his private property if he chooses to. And we would do him, I think, significant economic harm if we deferred this till January. And I don't think that's really our intent. But I would like to see us maybe immediately follow this up with a letter to the things that to the county. I know how sensitive these county commissioners are, that we say we hope that we understand that we are have communicated, we're following up on our agreement that this is one of the items, and we've tried to reach out to you to make sure that you understood this, something to that effect, just so that they know that we are not trying to circumvent them on this type of thing. I know it's an extra step and burden, but I think I'd better be proactive than having to answer their acquisitions and Jay's pictures in the paper again.
And I, Commissioner, I would confirm that the there is a strong desire to avoid that increase in capital gains. His cost basis is quite low in the property. They've been on the property for generation.
Oh, okay. Commissioner Caney?
I tend to agree with all the arguments for this purchase right now, although I still feel there was confusion in that several properties have already been purchased since the concept of a moratorium came out. And I believe the concept of, well, was there going to be one or two or three or four, maybe unclear, but I do believe there's a perception out there that WDFW was kind of done purchasing for a while. No time limit to it. So I would like to ask, or maybe get to help me with this as a motion, I would move that this particular purchase be pulled from the block of three to be voted on separately. And then I would make a motion to entertain voting on this one first.
Okay. So is that a motion that you're making to vote on the first two?
I would like to make a motion to vote on the third property in Okanagan County, separate from the other two, and we could do that when you feel appropriate.
Okay. I'm not sure how much support there is for that, but Commissioner Jennings?
Well, I think what he's asking for is two motions.
Right.
So if,
right.
If I can...
Okay.
Should I get the language correct? I'd like to move to approve the proposed land transactions, item one and item two, a proposed acquisition of the SFGHCK Timber Partnership property and the acquisition of the Chelan Douglas Land Trust property.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
The motion's been made and seconded to approve the first two land transactions proposed, the SFGHCK timber property in Pacific County and the Chelan Douglas Land Trust, Lower Icicle Creek property in Chelan County.
Madam Chair, I apologize for interrupting, but you need to ask for public comment before, before you...
There is no public comment. Thank you for that. Okay, the motion's been made and seconded. Commissioner Perry?
Is this simply a motion to divide the vote on these two, have a separate vote for two and a separate vote for the one, or are we voting to approve these?
We're voting to approve these two transactions, the first two transactions.
So... We're voting to approve the transaction.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I have some questions that are totally different from on this particular piece of property.
Excuse me.
And, the first one is on the first piece of property in Willapa Bay. As the way you described it, Dan, it's all wetland and. And that isn't buildable, is it? I mean, that can't be developed.
Let me move. I think I have a better picture of it back here. There is some forested land in the back. And the other issue here with it, yes. Excuse me. Here we are. Some of the land out here in the front is wetland that couldn't be developed. I mean, salt marsh, that type of land there. And then you can see that the footprint goes back in and picks up forested buffer that can be. The other thing that's happening here with a change in commercial forest land owners, what's been happening is we've been being locked out of these forest land. The hunters have been being locked out. And so what this is doing is prohibiting any, the development that you see going on, that has gone on right in here could take place up here, at least up in this part of the ground, and this could be split out. It wouldn't be built on probably, but it could be split out, the damage from that. So there is a risk here.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to me like it's a real high risk, and I just wondered why we're buying a piece of ground like that when it can't be developed anyway. Why would we be spending money on that rather than on something that could be developed similar to this Okanagan property? Doesn't seem to me like a good use of the money.
There is there's a public access opportunity, wildlife opportunity here that also has a huge value in the waterfowl hunting that takes place there.
And it's closed off now?
It can be closed off by a private owner. It isn't, right now it's not blocked off that I'm aware of, but it easily could be. A lot of it, as these commercial forests are going into the real estate investment trust and those types of ownerships, what's happening is these absentee owners are locking up their land. It's a cheaper way to manage.
Could I also add?
Director Anderson.
Thing. I mean, also, Commissioner Perry, if you'll note where the revenue source, National Coastal Wetlands Grant from the private donated funds, and then the other piece from the Migratory Bird Conservation Fund. So, I mean, there's a linkage to the fund source, to the property types and the habitat values and the wildlife values that wouldn't link, for example, to use those funds to buy property in Okanagan County may not, you know, it's not, if you don't use them here, you can use them somewhere else for an entirely different habitat protection purpose.
I guess I don't really agree with buying property that really can't be developed in any way. The uplands, I would agree, that probably could in this context, but again, spending money for land that can't be developed won't change in terms of habitat value.
Just to add to the director's comments, the fund sources, the two fund sources, are specifically for this exact kind of property. They both of those fund sources had a competitive ranking process, and this scored high enough to get funded on a national level in the National Coastal process. The Migratory Waterfowl is our own duck stamp, and that goes through a review group of local Washington people who have selected this as one of the properties to be acquired with that fund source.
The only other question I had was on the Okanagan property, it appears that there's ag ground along the bottom there. Will that continue to be in agriculture?
The immediate plan is to continue to use, there's 50 acres of water right that comes with this, and the intent of the immediate intent anyway is to continue to irrigate. The irrigation provides food for mule deer, which provide food for the large carnivores.
Thank you.
Commissioner Jennings.
I was going to comment on this same piece of property, but from a different perspective, and that is I thought this was a really great value from the department's perspective, because from the department's raising of money, we're only raising $80,000 to pay for this piece of property, which is giving us 260 acres, and I haven't done the quick math, but it's about $500 an acre.
Yes.
So that seems like an amazing value. And when we look at Southwest Washington and the upland portion, one of the big concerns that I got briefed on years ago was how little late successional stage habitat we had in forest. So by blocking up forest and being able to manage it for wildlife, to me, that's some pretty valuable land right there, even excluding the waterfowl and wetlands value. Just having some additional lands in Southwest Washington that's managed for wildlife is a boon. So Commissioner Perry and I came at this from two very different directions. I thought it was a great value at less than $500 an acre when you compare it to the third piece, which is 80 acres for $550,000, the change in value is pretty dramatic. So,
Commissioner Schmidt, did you have a?
If we're through with the discussion on Willapa, I did have a question for Dan on the ISAC, if I might. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost reluctant to raise any question, but The Icicle River apparently is only one of two in the state that has unusual property ownerships as it regards to the riverbed itself, in that some but not all the property ownership, and there was a lawsuit about 4 or 5 years ago that addressed this, the owners own halfway across the river and actually own the river bottom. Do you know in the title if we would end up owning the river bottom halfway out in the river?
I do not, Commissioner. I don't have that information with me.
Okay.
I'm aware of what you're speaking, but
I think it's a... Let me just say that the land around the Icicle never comes up for sale because it is so rare that it's sold to a private party on the side. And probably the only reason this is available to us is because of Chelan Douglas Trust, their actions in a larger piece. I actually went down and walked the property on Monday, and it's of tremendous value for riparian habitat, for fish spawning area, and actually public fishing. This is the only piece on the lower Icicle River that the public can access other than a boat launch site up above this.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Was that Commissioner Mencken that seconded? Yes, it was. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion carries.
Okay. Sure.
Commissioner Jones?
I'd like to make a motion if I could. I move to approve the proposed land transaction number 3, the acquisition of the Maltus property, Fraser Unit, Metal Wildlife Area, Okanagan County. As presented.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion has been seconded by Commissioner Smith to approve the acquisition of the Maltus property in Okanagan County. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Kind of tough on you today, Dave. Sometimes it just slides right through, and sometimes we have a big discussion. And as Commissioner Jennings pointed out, we're a bit behind the curve here, behind our schedule. We have a break, and we will catch up with our schedule during executive session at the end of the afternoon. So let's take a 15-minute break, come back at 15:15.